of the word is the message this morning. How do we, I got to get there. I got to get us in there. I just want to get in there so quick. But if you wasn't here last week, you can get a CD. You can check with Kelsey at the back. But I just want to briefly just summarize what we talked about last week so we can move right on in to today's message. Last week it was heaven's seed, say seed, of blessing. Blessing. Everything that comes from heaven is blessed. Everything that came from God, he blessed by saying something. And we went to Genesis. The purpose, we talked about the purpose of the seed. Every seed has a purpose, whether it's a natural seed or God's word is a seed. It has a purpose. That seed of the blessing had a purpose to one day destroy the work of evil. Amen? Because we got to think, it was a tree of life, and there was a tree of a knowledge of good and evil. What does a tree produce? I heard it. Fruit. What is in the fruit? Seeds. Okay? There's one tree God said don't mess with. That was the cursed tree. That was of knowledge of good and evil. That was God's tree. That's God's tithe. That was his. Don't mess with that, Adam. But it had to be there. It had to be there because there was another created being that deceived all mankind. That was the devil. So really, that was God's tree that he was going to deal with, but devil got man involved in it. Deceived mankind. So the purpose of the seed, which was Jesus, was to come later and destroy the work of the knowledge of evil in mankind. Remember, we talked about part of the curse on the woman wasn't only pain in childbirth, but the multiplication of woman's conception, that multiplication of pain. But remember, I talked a little bit about our childbirth, not mine, but my wife's childbirth, how we found out that we had been redeemed from the curse. So when Ruthie was born, she didn't experience that pain. I won't go into all that, but remember the story, get the CD. I have to get Sherry. She was up in children's church. I'm sure she remembers the birth. Amen. Mothers never forget those births, do they? Sometimes us dads, we have to be reminded because we wasn't experiencing all those changes in our bodies while we're Lewis. But Patsy does. She remembers those changes way before the baby was due. So the purpose of the blessing is to destroy the curse. That was the purpose of the blessing, was to destroy the curse. Isaiah said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The blessing with us instead of the curse. Amen. See, that was the whole purpose of that seed. The purpose of the blessing is to destroy the curse. And this was last week. Still summarizing here. The purpose of the blessing is to destroy the curse. The purpose of the life of Jesus was to destroy the works of the devil. His whole purpose. And he did a good job. Amen. No, he did a great job destroying his works. Amen. Because everything God does, he does great. That was God's greatest work. And we talked about that in Ephesians 4, 7 through 10. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He took all those men and women that had been in Sheol, that had died, that were captive because of sin. They were slaves. He took them captive. He got them. Amen. And he took them to heaven. He took them to the blessing. Led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. See, we don't need those gifts in heaven. There's no stealing in heaven. There's no robbing in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. But there's gold in heaven. Man, there's jasper in heaven. There's beautiful things in heaven. When we see what we see, gold. Is anybody wearing gold jewelry in here? Anybody got gold on this morning? Don't get used to what that looks like. Amen. Because that's not God's gold. That's what he put on the earth. In heaven, it says you can look through it. The streets of gold is transparency. Man, talking about gold, pure gold. What are you going to do with it when you get there? I'm going to dance on it. I'm going to walk on it. Y'all ain't seen me dance. Y'all don't look at that. Miss Nancy Gentry, we're glad to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. We're just getting started, Nancy. She's like, oh, Lord, what kind of service? She just saw me dancing. I don't dance much in front of this crowd, but when I start thinking about heaven, gold is on my mind. I'm sorry. Streets paved to go, but that's not the biggest thing is Jesus. But to get to Jesus, I got to walk on streets of gold. Come on now. To get to him, I got to walk on his stuff, gold. Gold. Well, that gold in heaven's under my feet. The earth is under heaven, so gold is flowing to my way. Amen. Amen. Just think about that. It's under my feet in heaven, but it's down. I need it down here. I need gold. I need money down here. I need finances down here. Why? I want to destroy some evil. Amen. I want to preach the gospel. It takes money to turn on the lights in here, to turn on the heat. Amen. It takes money to eat. I got to eat too. Praise the Lord. It ain't like in the beginning, man, all that those trees were providing everything. Now, they got no trespassing signs on that land out there. If it ain't your land, it says no trespassing. I can't have that fruit off of that tree. See, man's plan is different than God's plan. Man put boundaries, limitations. God don't put no limitation. Amen. That's a good word right there. Now, I got to obey man's law now. Never was God's law. His law is love. Love each other. And what's what I have, I give to you. It's not mine. That's called covenant. What I have is yours. That's called family. Amen. That's called family. A lot of times, I don't like to fill up. I was just filling up two cars. Now, all my kids are driving except Rowan. I'm filling up a lot more cars with gas. Takes a lot more money. I'm not as happy sometimes to fill up three or four cars as I was with one or two. But then I think about God and I get happy again. Amen. Because he is my provider. He is from which all blessings flow. He's a good God. And he's got gold and silver. It's in the earth. And he says, it's yours. God don't need it. I need it. It was created for, God put it in my garden. So praise God. I might just dig up a couple nuggets out of my backyard one day as I'm planting my garden again. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? I think Brother Copeland, when God told him to put his ministry down there in Texas, I don't think he's got oil on that property, don't he, Jim? If I'm pretty natural gas. Selling it. He'll make you the head and not the tail. He'll make you the lender and not the borrower. See, that's the promises of God. Kenneth didn't know where to put that land, where to set the ministry, but God did. Because he knew where the gold was. Natural gas to us is gold. Amen. And it's financing the ministry and heating the ministry and helping the city out. But mainly the gospel is being preached. I've learned a lot from that man. He's a prophetic teacher. Teaches the things of God. Ain't that good? God's got a good plan. The purpose of Jesus was to destroy the curse. He did a good job. God's greatest work. Jesus gave his life so the Father could receive his family. That was last week's message. Like I say, if you can get a CD, we probably got it out here in the vestibule if you need to get a copy. That was called Heaven's Seed of Blessing. And as I was praying this week, and I really wasn't focusing on what I ministered last week because I did pull up that CD to give it to the, put in the gift cards. I wanted them to hear last year's message because that's just what the Lord said to do. If I do what he says to do, it's blessed. Well, you're saying sometimes what you say ain't blessed. If God didn't say it, it ain't going to much blessing on it. Amen. It might be a good work, but it won't be a God work. It might benefit a little bit, but I want the blessings. I want his blessings on it. Amen. If I do what he tells me to do, there's a blessing on it. So this week, coming into 2 weeks before we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, practicing the presence of the Word. I wanted to say Lord, but the Lord said practicing the presence of the Word. See, the Word that we preach here, the Word that we preach, the Word that we share with you is important. And you just don't need to hear it today. You need to hear it until you come back next week. Practice the word. Practice the presence of the word, presence. You mean what I say up here, I can actually, there's a presence? Yes, it's faith words, life, full of life. And the Lord gave me a scripture, a few scriptures. But I want to, right there, when it says practice the presence of the word, you remember in the book, and we'll get there in Genesis, it says, and this is after Adam and Eve had ate the forbidden fruit from the tree, and God came. I need to read it to you. The way it said, let me find it. Genesis 3:8. Rowan will put it on the board for us. I like the way this was said. Genesis 3:8. Practice the presence of the word. Adam and Eve, as they heard the voice, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Now, don't get too caught up in this, but how do you hear walking? I mean, a voice walking. You hear the word walking. The voice. John had a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of who? The Lord walking. Prepare his presence. Prepare for his presence. In other words, they had spent some time with God, his presence. And they heard the voice. Now, you can take it two ways. They were walking in the garden, and they heard his voice. Now, it could be Adam and Eve were walking, but I hear the word walking. God's presence to them could be seen. Not with these eyes, Lewis. With their heart. See, before the fall, they could see God. They were with God. But after sin, it says they died. Because God said, if you eat, you shall die. They were separated. Spiritually died. They were separated from his presence. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. There's nothing but good. But because of sin, it separated them from his presence. But they still heard. They still heard. They just couldn't see. They were seeing different now. They had to see with their physical eyes because they couldn't hear with their heart anymore. See, faith is of the heart, not of the head. They lost that when they sinned. But God never changes. He's the same. He came back for the fellowship. He enjoyed. He created us for fellowship. So when you sin and mess up, now once you get born again, you are sealed. You're in the family of God. You're his, sealed, until the day of redemption. Well, I thought I was redeemed. You are in your spirit, but your body and your soul are still in process. But God is there. He's in you. The kingdom of God is within you now. Amen? God has taken up residency once you get born again. And he'll never leave you, never forsake you. But what if I sin? I sin in my mind and in my soul. It has nothing to do with my spirit, man. God's still there. Even though I'm trying to hide, my old mind wants to hide from God. God sees me behind that little tree. He sees me back here. So he knows it all. He knows it all. He knows what you did. All he needs you to do is come out and say, guilty, confess my sin. And God says, come here, I love you. See, come here, I love you. Not don't run from God, run to God. Amen, because he's got a big hug for you, big love hug. Big love hug. This is how we practice the presence of the Lord. You got to get close enough to him, amen. To practice his presence, you got to be there. You got to show up for church. But this ain't where you start practicing, is it? This is where you get equipped. Start practicing every day. See, and as we were just singing and worshiping the Lord and thinking about Christmas, and now take this, I love Christmas. It's an exciting time. But you know what? I'm not excited as I really used to be really before Christ, because it was one of those days that, you know, man, I'm going to get all these gifts. I'm getting some things, you know. But see, now Christmas to me is every day. It's not just one day a year. So when this day shows up really now, it's like that big excitement is really not there anymore, because I'm practicing his presence every day. It's normal to me. It should be normal for you to be talking to God and fellowship with Him every day. Every second of the day, I can be in His presence, practicing His presence. So when His birthday comes, I'm just like, hey, Lord, it's your birthday today. It's not like, whoa. No, I am in constant communion with Him, fellowship with Him. You know, every day when, you know, when my wife, we've been married for 31, 32 plus years now. So when it's her birthday, I'm not like waking up in the morning like, whoa, today is your birthday. Shaking her up off the bed, you know. No, it's more, it's just common now. Now, you still want to take her out for, do some nice things for her on her birthday. Flowers, cards, but do you understand what I'm saying? Because I get to celebrate her birth every day because I live with her. She's a part of me now. So that's really, every day is special. To me, that's Christmas now. Every day is special because of His gift, because of His great love. I can practice His presence in the presence of my enemies. That's Psalms 23. God has set me a table in the presence of my enemy, a place where I can sit down if I want to sit down and just practice. They can be doing all kind of evil toward me. They can be stoning me like Stephen. They could be throwing stones, hitting me. And Stephen's just practicing the presence of the Holy Ghost. Practicing the presence, that anointing, he's just caught up. He looks up. Hey, he saw Jesus. He was in the presence of God. And when you're in His presence, He'll show you great and mighty things you don't even know. Practice His presence. Practice. Amen. Praise God. I don't even know if we'll get off the first couple sentences. Hey, practice the presence of the Lord. That we need to stay here a long time for that. Amen. Because there's a lot that we do that has nothing to do with worshiping God. Because that song we were singing, worship, worship. Worship the newborn king. So see, now when Jesus was born, Matthew practiced the presence of the word. Matthew 2, 1 and 2 was the keynote scripture for this text. It says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Bethlehem is the house of bread, of Judea in the days of Herod the king, another king getting ready to show up, behold, there came wise men from Bethlehem, from Jerusalem, saying, where is that is born king of the Jews? Now, you got to understand, the wise men, it wasn't three. The Bible just says wise men. So a lot of times it was caravans. I believe there was more than three. I mean, there was three gifts, three predominant gifts. I think a lot of them gave those gifts. But anyway, they came. They didn't go to the king. They just came to the city asking where this other king is. But what happened is, when you start asking questions and it's not you're the king of that city, and you're looking for another king, word got to the king, Herod the king, that they were looking for another king. Uh-oh. Jealousy starts to rise up. Another king, but I thought I was on the throne. That's the sinner man. I'm glad I got off my throne, my high horse. That's called pride. See, Jesus is King of Kings, and he was chasing me down. But see, there was another king in my life before I got born again. It was me most of the time. I was on the throne. Amen. Until Jesus showed me His great love for me. Amen. Through the scriptures. And they were coming in verse 2 saying, where is that king born of the Jews? For we have seen, say seen, seen His star. See, God created the stars too. See, even these wise men knew. We came to see His star, not my star. I had nothing to do with the creation. That was all His plan. We came to see His star in the east, and we've came to worship Him. That's what we're here today. Practice the presence of the Word has got to have worship. I've come to worship Him. Worship this King. What makes one wise? When you learn how to worship the Lord. That's what makes us wise. First things first. God first. That's worshiping Him. When you keep Him first, that's called worship. I don't care how far I got to travel. You can ask Pastor Howard. We've been in Mooresville. We was underneath his ministry for 8 years. Been here at least 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years. Always drove at least 30 minutes to church. I don't care how far I got to go to get into the presence of the Word. the anointed word. And that's what I was under when I was under Pastor Jim, Dr. Price. I was underneath the anointed word. I was being changed. My life was being changed. My future was being changed. I don't care how far I go. I don't care if it's $4.50 a gallon. Amen. I'm going. I'm driving. Thank you, Jesus. How far you got to travel? How far you got to go? These wise men traveled a long ways. But they didn't come look for something. They came giving something. See, that's what worship. Worship will bring God something. Instead of, you know, we got to quit thinking about, well, I need to go to church because I need to get something. No, you need to come here because you need to give something. Give your worship, and when you worship God, you're blessing somebody else. That's the Christmas story. For God so loved the world, He gave. He didn't come down here to get. He gave, amen? He gave His best. He gave His Son, His only Son. I don't care how far I got to travel to get the Word, to practice His presence. I don't care how much it's going to cost me. I don't care who sees me. These wise men, they came to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem. There was a King Herod. They didn't care. They was asking, where's the king at? That's born, not the one on the throne. We're talking about the one that's born. They didn't care. They saw His star. They knew the prophecies. They had to get there. They had to fulfill the prophecies. Man, there was a pulling. There was a drawing on their lives. There was a drawing when I heard Brother Andrew Womack and Jim Howard preach the word back to back. I was drawn by that precious word. It was rare. It's called faith. That you're in Word of Faith Worship Center. We preach faith here. Faith in the Word. In the Word, we learn how to practice His Word. Amen? And I was drawn to that Word. And it got me to Jim. See, because the Word was coming from him. It was coming from that garden that he found out. Amen? And I don't care how far we had to go. We had to be there. Had to get there. Had to stay there. Amen? And that's what these wise men, where is this king? They didn't care who saw him asking. See, you can't be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that God wants to get me good gold. You can't be ashamed to wear gold, lots of gold. If he puts a lots of gold, say lots of gold. don't sound good. If he puts a lots of good things on you, you need to say, the Lord has blessed me. Look at me. Now, see, there's a difference in wearing it if I create it, but when He created it and put it on me, He brought it to me, I need to give Him some glory. Let me give you my testimony, because I used not wear this gold. I couldn't afford this gold. But I believed. I found Jesus. No, Jesus really found me. Amen. Because I was the one lost. Jesus wasn't lost. And He found me. And He changed me. And He showed me what true life is really about. Amen. Just like Solomon, when he really gave his heart, he saw David, he saw his father, he saw the heart that his father David had. He wasn't ashamed to stand before all those Philistines and all the that giant was cursing God, blaspheming God. God this and God that. He didn't have a covenant with God. David, a young boy, littlest of his brothers. What's wrong with you guys? Man, he's defying the armies of the living God. He don't have a covenant. Man, David had a boldness on the inside of him because he knew God. Knowing God will make you bold. Amen. He'll make you bold as a lion. I didn't used to have this boldness till Jesus took my coldness. He took that coldness out of me, that stony heart, and He put a heart of flesh on the inside of me. And more than that, He anointed me with the oil of gladness. So this is when it says glad tidings of great joy. This is what was born in Bethlehem. Jesus, Lord, at His birth, He was King of kings and Lord of lords. But He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a pig trough. Might as well say it like it says it, right? A manger. We say manger. If you don't know what a manger is, a pig trough. That's where He was born. That's where He was laid, Nancy. Jesus, the baby Jesus, laid in a pig trough, food trough. He was King. Amen? But that wasn't His future. That was His beginning. Amen? Because He is in a palace. He is on a throne. But it's not of this earth. It's of heaven. Amen? That's where He came from. Heaven's blessing. Seed came down. Every seed has to return to its creator. Amen. Every seed has to return to its creator. It's life. There's life in God. That life had to return. It made a complete circle. I'm glad I got on that train. I got in that. Amen. I'm in the family. Once you get born again, you're in the family. Praise the Lord. This is getting better as we go. You can't be ashamed of the gospel. True worship, I don't care who sees me, you know. And it's a difference now. I've told you now, when you're the follower and you're back here and you're helping in the sound, and then God says, now it's time for you to come and you be the minister. All eyes are upon you. Y'all get to see me raise my hand and pray. See, y'all get to see the back of me now. How do I look? Do I look okay? Because I ain't never seen the back of me. Don't answer that question. Amen. Because I can't look in the mirror, but still, that's just a mirror. That's a reflection. You get to see the real back of me. I'd rather look at God's backside than my side. I'm thinking about Moses. Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. Lord said, wait a minute, I put my hand on you. I put you in that rock and I let you see my backside. And when he saw his backside, all he saw was goodness and mercy. Man, the goodness of God is the glory of God. Pastor Lewis has told us that. His goodness is his backside. Lord, let me just lay out on your front side for a little while. Man, if that's his backside, Tammy, good Jesus. Glory. This is how we practice his presence. Just think about his backside, his goodness and mercy. What does the front of God look like? Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In his presence. Practice his presence. Amen. Don't get used to this body. Don't get used to this body because it's got to be changed. When we see Jesus face to face, we're not going to be looking like this. Amen. Whew, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care who sees me when I praise God. They went to the king asking. All I know is I got to give him some worship. I got to give him my worship. See, don't look at me when I'm worshiping God. Just shut your eyes and don't even look at me. You look unto God. You worship God. When Tammy and Reed and whoever's leading us in worship, you might have to look at them, but look past them. Because they're not here to entertain you. They're here to bring you into the fellowship and worship, to practice the worship of God, his presence. Amen. That's what we do. And that's what they're doing. That's what every praise and worship leader should be. Is, Lord, what would you have me to sing today? What would you have me just... Lord, we might not even sing. We might just practice your presence today. We might just show up and well, Lord, what do you want us to do? See, that's what you got to do. Is always ask him what he wants to do. Because he is the orchestrator of our lives. He's the architect of our lives. Amen? He's the great master, creator. Practice the presence of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when it says practice the presence of the Word, it's practicing getting used to spending time with God all the time. And if you get used to that, there'll be things you don't want to do anymore. It's a holy conviction that, Lord, we shouldn't even be here at this place. But then don't get condemned because there's sinners in those places. If God sends you to that place for that sinner, go. That's not your house. That's not your residency. That's a place where they need to see the presence of God. Amen? Jesus said, for this purpose I came. Because they looked at him, why are you going to that old sinner's house? The religious people looked at Jesus. Why are you spending time with the sinners and all those other people? You know, you're supposed to be in the temple with us, with the, you know, reading the scripture for the day. Jesus said, I came to seek and save those that are lost. They were lost. They were blind, didn't know they were lost. And they were in God's house, in the temple, and they were lost. Amen. Not everybody goes to church is saved. That's just a little nugget right there, right? How do you get born again? Believe the Word. Confess the Word, Jesus. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. All those that call on the name of Robert ain't going to get you nowhere. All those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you don't call on the name of the Lord from your head. It's got to be a heart cry. See, because faith is not in your head. Faith is of the heart. And when I called on Jesus out of my heart of conviction that day, I got born again. Now on the outside, I looked the same. I wasn't quite as chubby as I was back then. I had a little bit more hair, but still, on the outside, I was the same. But the next 2 or 3 days, I went and had breakfast with somebody I used to have breakfast with, and they looked at me and said, "What's happened to you?" My nature had changed. I was talking different. I was acting different, and he saw it. He saw the presence of what the Lord had done. Amen? And he knew something was different. And I told him, well, I got saved. I went to church, and he knew. See, people will know the difference. Amen? They'll know. Some of them won't ask, but they'll know. But the ones that ask, tell them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what happened. Tell them what he's done for you. Amen? Practice the presence of the Lord. You know, I'm probably getting there. Practice the presence of the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. The Greek word there is logos. And it denotes the expression of thought. Everything that Jesus did, this is God's thoughts toward mankind. Everything he did, Jesus said, "Lord, if it will you heal me?" Jesus said, "I will. Be thou whole." That was God's thought for that person to be whole. Everybody that's sick, God sees you well. That's God's thoughts. Continually towards you are good, not evil. That's his thoughts. We got to practice that. And we keep practicing that, we will be that. Say be. God said like, be. Wanda, be healed. Be delivered. Be free. Amen. That's be. Just be. You don't have to understand it. Sometimes you might not feel like it, but when you've received healing, the word of healing, you are healed from that infirmity the day you believe, the second you believed. Now, practice it. How do you practice it? Act like you healed. If you're sick, I don't care. Come to church. But what about everything you learned in school? You know, if you're sick, you stay home because you don't want to get other people sick. We don't get people sick. We get them healed. Amen. Jesus said, go heal the sick, not go tell the sick to stay home. You need to stay home. Others, those that are well, come to church. No, if you're sick, come to church. We pray for you. Now, if you feel like you need to stay home, we'll pray for you to be healed at home too. Don't come under condemnation, but don't stay away. Jesus, just because people had leprosy, he didn't say, "Stay away, I'll heal you from here." No, he touched them. He touched them. Love will chase you down and try to touch you, tackle you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, we practice the presence of the Lord. That word is logos, expression of thought, not the mere name of an object. Jesus totally expressed the thoughts of his Father. Totally. And he was manifest in a physical form so all the world could read. Jesus was manifested in a physical body so all the world could read the thoughts of God. No longer did they have to guess. No, he is here. He is here practicing his Father's word. I will be healed. You ain't got to go to the Levites no more. I am. Not I am. I am. Jesus said, I am. Jehovah Rapha. I am your healer. Receive. According to your faith, be healed. According to your faith, be whole. According to your faith, believe. And you shall receive. Amen. Jesus changed. He brought us back to the garden. Amen. He brought God's garden back to mankind. Gold, silver, precious trees with fruit. Amen. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus was the brightness of God's glory. If Jesus don't brighten your day, there's nothing we can do for you. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. If you can't, in other words, if we release the word for you, if you come up for healing, we give you God's word concerning 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, Jesus took on his body, the sins on his body, and by those stripes you are healed. Well, I've heard that one, preacher. What? That's God's word to you. See, you've got to value that word more than silver and gold. Because, see, that's a word from God. That word is health to you, is medicine to you. But if you just say, well, I've heard that one, you got another one, Pastor? See, you're not valuing the word. You're not practicing the presence. The word is present right there for you. Reach out and digest it. Put it in your mouth and swallow it. And it will get into your blood system. It created the blood. Amen. And see, I got to believe that as a minister. When I minister, I got to believe that and say that and expect that. That is the seed that you need. And it will bring a harvest if you receive it and you water it and you keep all the weeds out. Because see, it's got to grow. Say grow. Faith has got to grow on the inside of you. The seed left alone of itself will just sit there on the ground until somebody plants it. Amen. Until somebody says, I want some fruit. I'm tired of looking at that old bitter seed. Remember, we had a demonstration last week about, just a visual. We didn't do the literal. Pastor wanted to cut up an apple for you and have somebody eat the apple and then have somebody eat the seed. You tell me, which is better, seed or fruit? Fruit. If you're hungry, the fruit's better, right? If you're full, tell me what's better. No, he ain't full yet. Now, wait a minute now. Y'all see where I'm going with this? See, God says, I'll give you bread and seed for the sower. So see, if you're full, I'll take that seed because I need to plant that. I need to harvest on that. I need to harvest. See, my wife said that to me this morning because I asked her certain times we sow. We might sow once a week. She is the planner. I go out here and provide. You know, she's a provider too, but she writes the check, so she's the planner, right? Well, I'm talking about my giving. So I asked her on the way to church this morning. I said, are we sowing this morning? She said, no. I'm like, well, praise God. That means we're receiving a harvest today. Because I'm either doing one or the other. I'm either sowing or I'm reaping. And if I'm not, the devil's a creeping. Right? Because I'm supposed to be doing one or the other. Seed time and harvest is supposed to be going on in my life. Amen? Every day. Every season. See, there were these seasons. God didn't create seasons. It was always something was given and something was... I was eating something, and then you're supposed to take it and sow it, Adam. But before Adam was there, God created the seed to get in the ground itself. Squirrels, anybody ever seen squirrels? Mama don't like squirrels around her house. She likes pecans. Mama got pecan trees around her house. She got some busy squirrels. Because if you don't go get them nuts, them squirrels are going to go get them. They're going to hide them, plant them in the ground. See, plant them. They hide them. See, the squirrel don't know it all. He don't know he was a messenger sent by God. He was sent to plant that fruit in the ground, and it's going to be a pecan tree. Do y'all not know that? I'm messing with you a little bit. I don't think every one of them squirrel remember where he plants all those nuts. Brenda's got a testimony. See, somebody's getting this word about what it, Brenda. Well, looky there. Somebody's been reading about squirrels. I just guessed it, but see, now that guess becomes a fact. 80%. They can't find 80%? So that means 20% is bread for the eater. Wow, wouldn't that go into a good giving testimony? A good tithing teaching. Hey, God says, consider the ravens of the air. The sparrow, how they reap nor their sow, yet God provides for them. You don't have to understand this gospel. All you got to do is believe it, right? But believing it will cause you to do it. And in the doing, you get to do some receiving, amen? Because see, God's faithful. Say, God's faithful. He's going to do his part. No, he's already done his part. It's called a law of seed time and harvest. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. He's created the seed. I can't change that seed. I can't change the DNA of the seed. But I determine the ground that it goes in, right? I won't put your seed in good ground. I don't want to go down to Egypt. God's put me in Concord. So sow my seed here in Concord, where he tells me to sow it. Now, if he moves me, then I'm going to go over here. Now, start planting seed over here. Now, that doesn't mean if there's a ministry in South Carolina and God says sow seed over there, we can do all kind of things now by phones and internet. See, we got all kind of access that they didn't have back in the Old Testament. Amen? By that, where they went, they either had to depend on the ravens. Hey, Elijah, he got fed by birds. I like it when Jim or Wanda bring me something to eat. I'd rather have Jim and Wanda bring me some good old turkey and scuffy dines than rely on the birds. Because they fellowship a whole lot better than them birds do. Them birds just make a lot of noise. Arr, arr. Wanda, Jim, I got to understand what they say. I'd rather go to their house. Are y'all understanding that? Hey, if God needs to send you a bird, Lord, hey, whatever it takes, Lord. If the bird has the word, come on, send me the bird. If he's got a message from you, here I am, Lord. Bring me that word. Hey, it was a sign to Elijah. If the birds don't show up with food, I'm going to Bojangles. I'm going somewhere. If McDonald's don't have it, if they've out of chicken, I love you, McDonald's, but I'm going to Bojangles. I got to have me chicken. Hey, I got to have the word. I don't care how far it costs. I don't have how much it costs me, how far I got to go, but I got to go get my word. Amen. You're getting a word this morning from the Lord. Amen. We're learning how to practice his presence. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're getting close to a close. But I ain't finished yet. Oh, wait a minute. I just got one paper, but I printed on the back side. Y'all really be thankful. I'm learning how to print on both sides and save paper. I gotta learn to tell the printer, though, it prints on short or long side. I gotta keep, see, because when I flip this over, it's supposed to be, but now I gotta flip it over this way. Because, see, there's a difference. See, the printer knows the difference. God knows when you sow by faith or you don't sow at all. Amen. See, you can give your body to be burned and don't do it in love. It ain't gonna profit you nothing. Worship God. Truly a heart of worship. Here I am, Lord. Lord. Hey, it's okay if you don't, if you got a decision to make and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to handle it, ask God. See, pride wants you to say, you've been at a gym 8 years, you know what to do there. No, ask God. Because the Lord needs to minister something to me, all that teaching, all the wisdom I've got, but I need the word to say today. Amen. So just don't think, oh, I got that, no problem. No, ask God. Don't walk by and ahead of him, walk with him. Walk beside him. Now let me turn my paper right side up. Practice the presence of the Lord. Adam and Eve worshiped the Lord by honoring his presence. This is before they sinned. Now when they sinned, they wanted to run away from the presence of the Lord. He's gonna burn me. He's gonna fire me up because he told me I was gonna die. They didn't know what death was. They didn't know what death was, but God did. He knew they wouldn't go. They wouldn't go hide underneath that tree with that little fig leaf. Man's a lot bigger than that fig leaf. I ain't had fig trees, but I hear them leaves ain't too big. God said, I got to work on that boy. So God actually did the first animal sacrifice. He had to took the skins of the animal. See, the blood had to flow. Where there's sin, there has to be a sacrifice. Thank God Jesus came. Amen. No longer do I have to sacrifice. Jesus did. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And his blood is speaking. Healed, prosperous, free. That's what his blood speaks. There's no sin. His blood's not contaminated. But it had to be shed. See, it had to be shed. It had to be given to cover all that sin, to bring us back into fellowship with God so we could practice that fellowship, practice his presence again. That's why Jesus came. I got to get them back, Father. We got to get them back. That's God's whole plan, was to get us back. And Adam and Eve worshiped the Lord by honoring his presence when he would show up and walk and talk with them in the cool of the evening. If we want to experience the presence of the Word, I know you do. I do. More than I know it now. No one can have your worship. It's got to be between you and God. I'm sorry, Eve. I don't want that fruit. I got to worship God. See, that's all Adam had to do. No, I got to stay in his presence, Eve. He didn't. If Adam knew all what mankind would experience, I think he would have thought a little bit different, maybe a little bit longer. But hey, I can't stand in Adam's shoes. He didn't know all the stuff that we know, right? See, and Adam didn't do it on his own. It was the devil. He's the tempter. Adam wasn't the tempter. It was the devil. All of the blame originated. See, it originated with the devil, not with Adam and Eve, because that was from God. That was God's creation. Lucifer was God's creation, but it said pride was found in his heart. God didn't put it there. God didn't put that seed there. See, Lucifer looked down and saw this creation. He saw Adam, and he said, I want that worship. I don't get to do what Adam and Eve. I don't get to worship. I don't get to fellowship. I want that. And he deceived them. He didn't go. See, Lucifer should have went to God and talked to God, taught his creator about that, instead of going to his creation and deceiving mankind. All he had to do was go have a talk with God, maybe. I think God would have worked something out. Amen. I think he would have straightened him out, probably. You know, you go to the army. A lot of people been in the army. You don't really go to your sergeant and tell him what you think. Amen. You might have a question. You might go ask him, but don't tell him what you think. Go ask him and see what he says. Amen. And then you do what he says. I haven't been in the military, but you do what he says, right? Don't base army military on Gomer Pyle now. You know I love Andy Griffin, Gomer Pyle, but movies are a lot different than real life. Amen. Jesus answered, if you want to experience the presence of the Word, and we're closing here, no one can have your worship but God. Matthew 4:10, Jesus answered and said unto him, to the devil, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, practice his presence. And him only shall you serve. Where do I go to worship or practice his presence? John 4:20-24. This is where I go. Our fathers worshiped. Here's a lady, a woman, talking to Jesus. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say, Jesus, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Having a debate. Anybody ever have a debate with religion? Jesus said unto her, King of Kings speaking here. Wisdom speaking here. God speaking here. You got to believe Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus said, woman, believe me. The hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, Jesus said, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. Faith is now. Practice God's presence now. Don't wait till you get out the door. Jesus said, and the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers, if there's true, that means there's false. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Where have I got to go to worship in spirit and in truth? Because the Father seeks such to worship. God is a spirit. Jesus said that you must worship me in spirit. I can't see God. But he's a spirit. Jesus said he was. I believe Jesus. I believe the Father is a spirit. The Father is present right now in this place. In you if you're born again. He's there. He's never left you. But to practice that, I must believe and I must finish that scripture. I must finish that scripture. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, or we could say in the power of the Holy Ghost by faith in Jesus. Jesus said, the hour is coming, and now is. You've got to worship the Father in spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you now. And if you're not born again, all you got to do is believe, and he'll come and he'll recreate you and make you in the family. He'll recreate your dead spirit. We've got to worship him in the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we practice his presence, through the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, through faith in Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word. In spirit, he is the truth. In spirit and in truth, just like Jesus did. You know how you practice his presence and worship him? Go out there and cast out devils. Heal the sick. Jesus didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. In other words, command that person that's sick to be healed in Jesus' name. That is praying. That's praying the prayer of faith. That's praying what Jesus said do. Amen? Conclusion. Come. Now is the time to worship. As Kelsey plays this song this morning, I want you to worship. If you need prayer, if you're here and you haven't been born again, if you're listening by radio and you've never truly worshiped Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you got to do is say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are God. I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And you came to set men free, to bring us back into relationship with the God the Father. And if you pray that prayer, or if you need us to pray that prayer with you, I'd ask you to come down and worship. But all you got to do is receive Jesus, that simple. And once you do, you are in the family. But if you need prayer, you need anything from the Lord, I want you to come down here as we sing this song, as we worship. Let's all of us just stand as we worship in this song. And if you need us, if you need something, come down here. Let us agree with you. Now is the time to worship. Amen. But you got to come.
Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship.
We worship you, Lord.
Just as you are before your God.
Jesus says, come. Yes, come, Lord.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
Just as you are before,
we come before your God.
worship the Lord.